For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
So who says shut up, I'm talking?
No, don't be a dickhead.
But who said, am I saying it?
In a minute. Right. Let us get going. Let us get going.
When you want it, but don't just...
will I say it unnatural? Because you guys kind of do like, shut up, I'm talking.
Jack, it's not too late to ask him to leave. Okay?
I've got good questions.
I could just ask you all these introspective career questions.
I don't know very much about, I'm not even going to spoil them.
Music. Whenever you're ready.
Oh, it's me. I thought you guys were going to do it.
No.
Shut up, I'm talking.
Shut up, I'm talking. I'm talking. I'm talking.
James!
Hello,
Marriott.
Guys.
Oh, my goodness. Hello, gracious. James. We're having you on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here with my boys.
Thank you, James.
Thanks, James. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm having a nice day. I'm feeling...
Good. Where you been? What have you been doing?
Well, where have I been? What am I doing? It's currently... this has been shot a bit in advance because you're going to Japan, aren't you?
I'm going to Japan. That is true. I won't be in Japan by the time this releases, though.
No.
Really? Oh.
We got tours.
Like
we've got a lot of pre-filming to do.
Yeah, you're going to be away for months. You guys looking forward to that?
Hey,
no.
You didn't hear the episode we just filmed where we spoke about that. So
No. Never try that shit again.
What's flipping
James,
the script?
James, in this podcast, we have a segment.
Oh, God. Here we go.
The beginning of our podcast opens with us asking each other the worst moment of the week. That isn't happening because this is a guest episode. The guest episodes have a different sort of format.
So you asked me how I'm doing first.
Yes, that was part of the, that was part of my plan.
We've done that. We've smashed that.
And I'm the host. I'm the host role today now.
Oh, lovely.
In this bit, yeah.
He really likes structure in these things.
Right, yeah.
James.
Lots of control.
What? Yeah. Don't analyze that.
Sorry.
Don't psychoanalyze that.
There's nothing wrong with control. No, there's nothing.
A lot of control. There's nothing wrong with a lot over people.
James, what was your worst moment of the week?
Oh.
Wow, Jack. Yeah. Great question.
Thank you. I tried.
I've alluded this to Tom already. Recently, something's happened, which is that Tobo has been announced to be fighting.
We fucking hope. We think it's been announced today. As of recording this. So hopefully by the time it's out, it definitely has.
Allegedly.
And
Tobo was announced to be doing a boxing match at Creative Clash.
Over the last week, I received a message from, I got followed first of all by iDubbbz, right?
And okay.
I was an old commentary YouTuber, so I've known of him for a while. I really liked his documentary on Dax Flame.
Yeah, that was a really good one, actually.
I enjoyed that a lot. And now Dax Flame is like actually
big again.
Huge.
I think iDubbbz is partially responsible for that.
I've seen him in my recommended load.
Oh, he was like, do you know better than me? You might be better for this one.
But yeah. So he was, back in the day, he was like, I would say like in 2008, 2009, he was making like random YouTube videos. He's the meme of like, I dressed up as Superman at school. And then the next day he like crashes out because it wasn't like a mufti day or whatever you'd call it. Like, and then he was kind of, he did some acting roles because he was
he was in like 21 or 22 Jump Street.
Yeah.
He met Bo Burnham.
I know. I've seen the clip of Bo Burnham going, I love you, Dax Flame.
Yeah.
And then he kind of went traveling for a few years, didn't pick up any acting roles, had stopped creating online and kind of came back and was working in an ice cream shop. And
iDubbbz made
a documentary about him being like someone that used to have this like crazy internet fame, became an actor and then just stopped doing stuff. And when that came out, I started supporting him on Patreon and I removed my Patreon pledge recently because I was like, I don't think he needs it anymore.
Well,
we've got somewhere else you can spend it, James!
For God's sake. Yeah, no, it's only $7.
$7!
$7. I think you've done a great job at the marketing of it.
Thank you.
I got employees.
No, he's employed.
I want employee of the month.
But anyway, iDubbbbz follows.
Get promotion.
No, it's employee. That's not a promotion.
But anyway, iDubbbbz follows me on Twitter. I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, I don't think he knew who I was before the other week. So I was like, this is interesting. He waits a couple days and then I receive a message from iDubbbz. And in the back of my mind, I was like, okay, there's a reason he's following me. It's probably there's a creator clash coming up and he's just kind of fielding out and seeing.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
If anyone's interested. And so I receive a message from him. Yeah, it's about boxing. And this message reads, I'll get it up because I think it's a good message.
I know the message. I took a photo of it.
I remember when I got my message. So this is fun.
It was, I've got to scroll through because we ended up having a conversation about other things after. Hey, James, do you have any interest in boxing another creator? Not sure your size, but I was looking for someone to fight Tubbo. And right, so I immediately go back and I'm like, okay, well, hold on. I'm 6 foot, almost 6 foot four. Yeah. I'm over 90 kilograms. This isn't probably the best matchup. So within a few minutes, I message back.
Tubbo was like famously like 5'8",
famously.
Maybe 9.
Well, this is the thing. So I message back and I go, sorry, mate, probably not a great matchup. Like, I'm a bit taller, probably a bit heavier. Mm. But in the back of my mind, there's no way that iDubbbz is just like cold calling random YouTubers. Surely Tubbo's made a list. He can't just be going out to every YouTuber in the world. So now, I haven't spoken to Tubbo about this, but I wonder if Tubbo was like, fuck it, yeah, James Marriott, I reckon I've got him. And I've rejected the fight. Which means, technically, I backed out in a fight against Tubbo. So Tubbo is 1-0 against me.
On a mental level. Did he even make it to the ring?
I genuinely don't think. If I see him again and he just stares me down, I reckon I will avoid eye contact. Like, that's the level of like...
I want to read Tubbo's list who he reckons he can take. Starting with James. Yes,
I was like, yeah, I am taller than him and heavier than him, but clearly there's a part of him that wants this. And I was like, how far could I have gone in this? Could I have gone, yeah, mate, reckon I've got him. And then, like, it's at the weigh-in that they just notice that I'm like, oh.
No, but would you... This is the thing, though. You're not... Tubbo would beat up you. You're not going to punch Tubbo.
Oh, I don't know. If I had to.
If he started punching you,
what would be the stakes?
The stakes?
Like, what would it take?
Usually
to punch
medium
Tubbo?
Rare.
Ooh. I feel like I'm in a...
Usually medium.
God, I feel like I'm in like a Sub to Will video.
No, oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I need to switch off.
It's done now.
What, forever?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, no, he's just in America for a few weeks.
Ah. Right, so anyone that doesn't know, this, not only is he a comedian... This is our friend James Marriott. He is a YouTuber and primarily a musician now.
Oh, wow.
Musician, yeah. I should have opened with musician, but comedian came first.
Yeah, no. Well,
given the jokes you just made.
Well, the jokes.
I remember there was actually like a... I went to go and see something at the Hammersmith Apollo.
Ooh.
I think 4 years ago. I mean, I've seen you at the Hammersmith Apollo as well, Tom.
Yeah, we did go.
Which is fantastic.
And me.
Of course, you were there.
He was on the billing.
And Freddie was there as well.
Yeah, Freddie.
And there was there anyone else?
That's there? It. Oh, and Joe.
Joe, yeah. Joe. But Tommy, yes. On the billing. Tommy. Anyway, it's about you.
And
about
I took a picture of the stage. I think it was in like 2019. And I was like, in 3 years, I'm going to be on that stage. And I thought I'd be a stand-up. And then, yeah, went a completely different route. So
maybe a stand-up?
I think for a part, when I didn't realise what went into it.
Remember when we did the roast of Tommy in it? His jokes were very good. You were very good, actually. You came out with a very well-written, well-flowing little set.
So really, you took a photo of the Hammersmith Apollo and said, in 3 years, I'll be up there. And actually, in 3 years, I was up there.
It was you, yeah. Well, the funny thing about that first video that I was in of yours...
Was that the first video?
Yeah, because you only invited me up to do that because you'd moved to Brighton at that point, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And you were like, I've got a recording where we're doing the roasting. Do you want to be in the audience? And I was like, fine, yeah, I'll be in the audience. And when we were on the train up, you were like... If you want, you can like write a few jokes or something.
Fuck, you wrote it on the way there. I remember I was with you.
Yeah. So I wrote it on the train.
You did way better than anyone else who went up. I'm going to be honest.
No, there was a few. There was a few solid ones, but I remember quite a few of mine got cut.
They were, some of them were like mad.
Yeah. But
they probably could air now.
Oh, weirdly, probably, yeah.
They probably could air now. But back
don't
then,
be adding that to a fucking Patreon without even realizing. But it was like, at the time, it was like, the way that I used to do YouTube stuff was like, sometimes you do say the things which you know are going to get cut because they will just loosen up the room a bit more and be like, yeah, everyone's fine to make whatever jokes they want.
We still do that. And like, not for the Patreon, not for the podcast even. God, I'm now recording the Patreon. Yeah. But in recordings, we've started doing that for like Minecraft.
This first episode doesn't matter. It's the second one.
No, I don't even mean it. But like, it's gone to the point where I did so much heavy marketing on the Patreon. I've like muddled the word and I call the whole podcast Patreon in my brain.
Do you reckon it's one of your most used words these days, Patreon?
by accident, maybe.
Yeah.
But, you know, $7.
James,
good stuff.
I've prepared some questions as well. Introspective ones, thoughtful.
Don't say I've prepared, like I didn't
fuck
off,
mate.
Prepare.
These are the ones I came up with.
I'm so
yours
excited.
Are first, yes, but mine.
Yeah, okay,
I
but
have.
I'm opening, aren't I? I'm opening. And then
all
I'll
right,
say,
fine.
Jax.
You open.
And in a way, we're all going to be opening because we're going to be opening up and
opening
and
up. Okay,
sharing
nice.
Some secrets.
That was nice. We're looking for a new host.
Oh, really?
Fuck off. No, he just keeps arguing with me today.
No, because it
recently,
whatever.
Actually, past 3 weeks, just
whatever,
arguing.
Whatever, Jack. Whatever.
Just arguing, man.
Do you guys need some couple therapy?
It seems like it.
Oh my God, we should have a couples therapist on.
That actually would be really funny.
Let's get focused. James, so I was saying, yes. You know, you've been doing music now for a good couple of years.
Yeah. Because
you gig, look, how many tours have you done now?
Oh, fuck. I think we've done I think we're on our 60th show. That 60th might be
show.
Wrong.
How many tours?
60 to 70 shows. Fuck. We've done Australia and New Zealand. Well, we've done Australia and New Zealand on one of them twice. We've done one support tour, three like kind of headline tours in the UK.
So, you know, I've been doing comedy now, as you know, for fucking a year.
Yeah.
And like, there's a real sense when you're doing it, like as a comedian, oh, that was a really good gig. That
yeah.
fucking sucked. As a musician, what's the difference between a good gig and a bad one?
It's, I think, because we've spoken about it before, because I think when there's been times where you go into play festivals and you're playing in front of a lot less people, I think the real way you can define it is within the energy and connection you feel with a crowd. Like if
yeah.
you go in and everyone in the crowd is proper up for it, you just come away from it, no matter if your performance is bad, and you're like, that was just really fun.
Yeah.
Like, but then there was one time where we played a festival in Australia called Yours and Ours. Great festival. Met Peach Pit there. They were so cool. Their set was amazing. The location, amazing. Everything about the festival, great. But it was an 18 plus festival in a part of Australia where I'd never been before. You could probably count on two hands the amount of people that were in front of us. And there was like, obviously a few core people wearing like shirts and stuff, and they were giving it a lot. But then there was just this
yeah.
vacant field behind them. And you could literally at one point in the gig see this man like pulling a wheelie bin like across the field. And like the sun was in our eyes, so we had to wear sunglasses. I couldn't see the screen on my pedal. And I went off stage and I was like, that was almost funny. Like,
yeah.
how ridiculous
yeah.
that was.
That's good.
And the photo they took of it made it look as good as you possibly can, but it was a bit of a tough one.
You know, when you're on stage performing, do you ever like, how there are you? Because sometimes when we were doing the show that was scripted, at least I'd sometimes go on autopilot. And then,
yeah.
especially more so with stand-up, you just so... like that, because with music, when you know all the songs, what's it like?
Well, the thing is you kind of like, you start to learn moments of the set and use those as your moments to really kind of feel like a connection with the crowd. So in Romanticize This, there's a line which is, this is the last time in the C part. And whenever I sing that line, I look out and I imagine it and soak it in as if it's the last time I'm going to be doing it. Like for whatever reason, like I could walk in down the road tomorrow and get run over by a car. And that be a thing, this could have been the last time that I ever played a show, or for whatever reason, right? So, and that's a real moment I have to kind of really take a step back and go, this is great. And then it has a really fun part of the song after that, so I can really feel that moment.
Yeah.
But you do kind of like, especially when you're doing a longer tour, there are moments where
the
days
kind of... Yeah,
you start
to switch off. I imagine with stand-up, this is sort of like now I'm...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's sort of... No, but like
I didn't even see it. I looked away for 1 second. I looked back at
you. They're giving you the V's. No, go on.
But like, I imagine it's, you know, because a lot of it is like crowd work and sort of playing off the, like a lot of the humor comes from playing off the energy of the
yeah.
room in the correct way. I imagine you, like, it almost is a requirement to be present.
Yeah.
In a way where, like, you know, when we're doing like our tour and it's scripted between us, every interaction's sort of laid out. And it's same with like sort of music. It's very laid out, and it's very difficult after months of doing the same thing to like, I'm like really
keep
like
it fresh
find
every night, yeah.
Moments.
Because stand up for me is like the most in the moment.
Because I have like one
whole
in,
life, and it's like
in your show, I had like one bit. You know that improv-y bit we did.
Yeah,
that was like the one bit each night where like I'd really get a sense of the room, because
that's what it feels like every night in stand up.
Yeah, and it's yeah. fun. I do get that.
So did you find that when you guys were doing the show together, that there would be some jokes that would kind of define the night? Like if you reached a joke and you got a good laugh from something. That you
yeah.
kind of felt
yeah.
like the show would become,
yeah.
we would be a good one or a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
very
true.
We sort of had like moments where we were like, oh, they like this every time, or they
yeah.
didn't like that. We had occasionally like little jokes that wouldn't usually get a laugh would get a laugh.
Yeah.
So that had some like weird night. We usually had, because in the first show there was three characters. You had Ian, Binder and me. For us, it was like, they always seemed to have one that they had the most sympathy for.
Mm.
And it was always quite unexpected. Like sometimes it was really clearly me. Sometimes it was Binder. Sometimes it was like Jack's character. And it was always, that was the most exciting thing for us. Like, who are they going to pick with?
It's
going to
be the favorite tonight.
Yeah. Because with like stand up, you totally know based on a few jokes. But it's actually different with stand up. You're like, jokes are on, I don't know if it's the same in music, but like, you can have two jokes that kill and then your third joke and they're just like, they don't like it. But last night they loved it. And that's where it's like, oh my God.
So I'd say with stand-up, you probably have this more jaggedy lines of things that
really
works. With music, it kind of feels more like a slope.
Is it, do you know if they're not into it from like a couple
of You can win
it?
People over with one song and then the rest of the gig be amazing. But okay, that can happen halfway through a set.
Okay.
Like we can be having a pretty poor start to a set, like my performance in the first song not be the best. Like we play him and the crowd aren't jumping, but then Going Postal at the party, we'll start playing that. And there's a bit in that song where I make everyone go to the ground and jump up. And sometimes if you really get people to do that, you then have them for the next half an hour.
Yeah.
And then we'll go off stage and we'll talk about it and be like, yeah, we tough. They had us in the first half, but then like when we got them jumping, it's great.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What would be your like, you might have answered worst gig, but best gig?
Best gig. That's so tough. I think like, I don't know about you guys, but I find that certain cities just put in, like their crowds are always fantastic.
What would they be? Yeah.
Melbourne. Like,
really? That's why I'm doing two dates.
Yeah, we've not done that one.
There's something about Melbourne. We played the first show there and it was just like, it was one of my favourites. And then
That's our last show.
Oh, you'll love Melbourne.
I'm not doing that one, am I? Where am I?
Well, that's too
You said hour, I don't think I'm doing this one.
There's cameras.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we did it again recently, and I almost went into the tour knowing it would be a good show. Like, I was like,
yeah,
this one, you know, we'll see how that goes. But I was like, oh, and then we play Melbourne. I was just like, in the back of my mind, I always knew it was going to be great.
It feels like Glasgow. Glasgow is always a great.
Yeah, Glasgow's great.
Did they
do the Here We Go thing with you guys? It might just be a gig culture thing, but people in Glaswegian crowds chant, here we fucking go before you come on stage.
They didn't do that for Tommy.
I don't remember.
Well,
that.
Now, next time you go to Tommy's show in Glasgow,
that's the first one of this next tour. It's Glasgow.
Well, there you go.
Now.
Yeah. What way to kick it off?
Yeah.
I'd
say those were up there, and then I'd say festival wise, playing Leeds, Reading and Leeds. But this last time we played in the Big Top Tent, I think it's called. Oh, anyway, yeah. And it was like
such just, a lot of people.
Yeah. And that was fucking great. Like, it was one of the first times where I've been able to go off stage. And you know, they have those, in festivals, they have those pathways where you can go into the middle of the crowd.
Yeah.
And I was doing grapes and I like ran off stage. And luckily I've been doing a bit of cardio, but I was pumped out of breath for the entire fucking performance. I like sprinted back, went back through the crowd and was in the middle performing grapes. And it was just like,
that's wicked.
I came
that's
off fun. Stage and I was like, I am a rock star. So that's how I felt. And then I looked back at the videos and went, I am not a rock star. Yeah, I'd say those.
And what's your favourite moment in the performance when you're on stage? Is it the singing or a certain bit in a song or like joking in between songs? Like, what would you say? It sounds like you might have answered this already with you.
I'd say Grapes is always a great one to play live because you kind of feel like year upon year, it's becoming more solidified, not just in my own culture, but at festivals. It's almost like whenever I do another festival, it's like, there seems to just be a different level of energy for Grapes. So I'd say that, but also I love Don't Blame Me. I think that's the song that means the most to me, at least in the stuff we've already played. And that moment live, I think there's a clip of me playing it at a little pop-up gig we did in Leeds and I was just really feeling it that night. And sometimes that's what I need. If I'm having a bad day and I go out and I perform that song and I really feel it, that's great.
It can change your day, can't it?
Yeah. And you just get that catharsis from it, which weirdly enough, I got from writing it. And then now I can kind of revisit that catharsis whenever I perform it. So I'd say that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's my turn now. I didn't know how to transition out. I was like, it's my turn.
I've got a question. I think you had it.
You could have hit me with a shut up question.
I wanted to say it was my
it's
turn.
It's my turn now.
It's my turn now.
It's my turn.
That was good of a name.
That. It's a very like us three thing to do in a conversation.
It's my turn now.
My turn.
It is my turn now.
I was very curious about, obviously, I would say now, it seems to me at least, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the majority of your time is taken up more with music than it is
yeah. social media, online stuff. How's that? How is that? Like, what's your day? What's the industry like as a day-to-day sort of thing? Like, how's your day-to-day different?
And compared to YouTube?
I'd say it's
comparatively.
Like, it's weird because I'll still make YouTube videos, but it kind of feels like with YouTube now, I can kind of post it and like forget about it. Like, my last video was, I'm pretty sure, a 10 of 10 for the first day. And you know how like 3-4 years ago, if I had a 10 of 10, I'd be like head in hands,
working
out what I was doing. I just put it out and I kind of forgot about it and then went on TikTok and started promoting my song on TikTok again. It's like, when you, it's very different, right? So when you're writing and producing and getting everything ready, it is a pretty draining experience because it's amazing to write music.
Because a long album rollout, that's what you told me.
Oh my God, yeah. I mean, we were in the studio for this album.
You got to tell Jack about that because that,
yeah, so we started writing the new album at the beginning, well, not even that, at the end of 2023. So we were already writing it then when the first album came out, continued writing in early 2024. March was a huge month for writing, just had a lot to write about. And then in July, we went to the studio and spent the following 2 months just going back and forth with my producer, changing little bits. Then it was sent to mix, then it was sent to master. Then all of a sudden it's November and we're discussing how we're going to put this stuff out. And it's only in January that we put out the first song. So it's like, that's a year and a half of my life.
The tempo of that compared to YouTube is like...
Yeah,
for like one project. Exactly. I realize there's lots of songs involved in that, but like one...
One cohesive thing.
Yeah,
and so it's like, so now it's weird because obviously, like, we just released the first single and the first week of that release, I would just spend absolutely hammering it everywhere in a way that you don't do with YouTube. But you've got to, if you spend a year and a half of your life on something,
you would,
and you're not promoting and in any possible way you can, I don't think you're doing it right. Like, I think, like, it'd be like if you were working on a comedy special that you were uploading somewhere, right? And you would go through it and you'd obviously make the clips of it. You would post that on short form. You'd find ways to, like, if people were using a sound in the sense of like one of your jokes and using it as a TikTok trend, you'd use that and you kind of... And it's like, you have to really be ready to completely bear everything and just like know that it's going to be a little bit embarrassing to talk about it all over and over and over again. But yeah, we're definitely in that stage now. And it's like pretty draining, but it's good to see a positive response to it.
Yeah, it seems to be doing really fucking well.
It's good. It's doing the best that I've ever had, which is again when you spend a year and a half on something, it's
that's a nice feeling.
thank God. But even if it had done the same, that's fine as well. You know?
But I also imagine, it becomes a lot easier to sort of not stress about something you spent like maybe a week working on.
Yeah.
When you've got something you've been working on for a year and a half.
Yeah. And it's like, a YouTube video might not do it as well as another one every now and then, but then you know, I can just go and make a video with Will and E and it'll do well. So I could just be like, hey, come down, we'll try some Dutch snacks and it'll be.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
Well, Will and E, thank you, Jay, for that.
Yeah, they're reacting to bedrooms just like,
reacting to anything with Jay Schlett.
Yeah, thank you. We all have our crutches. I wasn't looking at you in any way about that.
No, you don't really. Oh no, yeah, there is one. Just sort of being sad and miserable about things recently, really, isn't it?
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
No, but I've seen YouTubers that you don't know talk about your, I don't want to say sad content.
It's called the Square videos.
Yeah, but people talk about, like, other creators talk about
it. It means a lot to a lot of people. I'm taking the piss. They are great.
Because I'm not really on the internet now, so I'm just like...
Like, there's a video that Gabby Bell made recently, and she directly references your video in it.
I then watched her video, and I was like, awesome.
Yeah, it's so cool. Like, I think it's a really good way to approach YouTube.
Square. Thanks,
Square. Square.
Well, James, speaking of your evolution, and then...
My turn!
And then, speaking of my evolution just then, here's my question for you.
His turn.
Yeah, his
what's time. It been?
Sorry.
Anytime.
Maybe we should change the aspect ratio to square.
Let me just remind you something that I'm the host, guys.
No.
But you're both hosts.
We're both hosts.
Yeah, but I'm in the host role.
Tom has this weird thing.
Does that
thing.
Make me a parasite?
What?
If you're the host.
Okay, that was quite the... No, no. Okay. You're our special guest.
Okay, yeah. Right, special.
Here's my question. What's it been like, James, seeing... Sorry, in case Jack thought it was him.
Oh, Christ alive, man. Just get on with the question.
What's it been like seeing us two evolve, me and Jack, in work and life? Because you've known me since I was fucking... You were the first podcast I ever went on when I was 16.
Oh, my God. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, when I was 16. You've known Jack since... You've known both of us for so long. Yeah. You also were there. You knew about me from when I had like 100K. On YouTube? You've been there from the... And especially when I moved down in 2022.
Well,
I was actually going to talk about when you...
I'm going to take it in turns.
Okay.
That's Jack, right. I remember when... Because I remember, funnily enough, I remember when you started doing well and you changed from Thunder 1408
to Jack Benevol. No one ever remembers the numbers.
I have a really weird thing with numbers. I just remember numbers. Like, numbers just come to me very easily.
That's good.
Anyway, 3... Like, that's...
No, but think about it, because he thinks he said a random number. That's how many people are in the room.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. He doesn't know. The viewers don't know about you lot. Fuck off. All the people behind camera got really upset.
But I remember thinking, like, I remember there was a message that I was sent you where I was like, oh, my God, I'm no longer the most relevant Jahma. Because obviously Jack.
Oh, yeah. That was such a demand for Jamma that Jack
I pulled up the Jamma.
Yeah, we're proper Jamma.
No, I think we're both lost to Maya Jamma, so.
Oh, fuck, you're right.
Yeah, we both. Oh. We never had it to begin with.
Who's Maya Jamma?
This guy doesn't even know Maya Jamma.
Well, that's crazy. But, well, in his mind.
Maybe we do have the Jamma.
We're two of the biggest Jammers.
But I remember when you were... I remember speaking to you about... Because you were doing... Was it IT work alongside...
I was working tech support.
Tech support, that was it. And I remember saying to you, I think you're in a good enough position to go clear with YouTube stuff.
The main reason I did it.
Yeah, which is mental to think. But yeah. I at that point, I'd kind of been around, I feel like, for long enough to know what the signs were for someone that would do well and someone that wouldn't.
Yes.
So I felt confident.
You assured me of that.
I went to uni, I was like, you're fine.
Because when I was 14, I watched your videos.
That's weird. And
now I'm 20.
You unsubscribed.
Yeah, but you were a bit cold compared to Will.
I was.
You did go quite hard.
Yeah, I was a little cold.
But
I was,
now think about how warm you are.
Yeah, okay. You know? That's a bit...
No, in a nice way.
But then, obviously, with you, you came on the E-Boys podcast, I remember. But I didn't really... I knew you, and I'd watched your stuff by this point, but we hadn't really spoken.
No.
It was more so when I moved down to Brighton, and then you moved down to Brighton.
I was so intense on that podcast.
No, you weren't. I remember actually finishing that podcast and going, yeah, he seems, like, pretty level-headed, actually, for everything that was going on. Obviously, you're always going to reflect on the way that you were as a kid and be like, oh, I was so hot-headed.
Because my first Trickle Sandwich, everyone had, like, funny episodes. And I was, like, really serious. And I rewatched it, like, ugh.
Nah, I think, like, it was important for you to have that side of you. Because then that showed you a multifaceted...
It was nowhere else, was it? Like, everyone was like, kid, you know? Like, that was you. I think it was good for you to have these more serious moments.
And then I remember moving down to Brighton. And I didn't really deep it at the time. But now I kind of... As I've kind of grown up a bit more, and the people I hang out with the most are, you know, people in my band or, like... friends I have in London from when I was at uni or school, I just realized, like, you were so young. When you moved to Brighton, you were 17.
Yeah.
And I remember telling you when you moved down to Brighton, I was like, definitely down to, like, go for a coffee together in the lanes, let's hang out. Mm. But I knew, and I think I said it to you, I was like, you're going to... Because it was before you'd moved as well, I think.
No, you moved first.
But
yeah, Jack, I remember when I moved down, the big difference was...
I moved before you.
Everyone who was...
Really?
Yeah, I was there for a while.
I wasn't 18, so everyone would go out drinking after 10.
Yeah.
So I basically, you were like my person who would hang out with in the day.
Yeah, because I kind of felt like with you, it was, I knew at one point that you would meet people that were 17/18. And at that point, it would very much be a time for me to, like, fully take a step back and let you just do that and have that part of your life.
But you were a real rock for me when I first moved out.
Well, yeah, so it was important because it was like, bit of context. When I lived in Spain for half a year and I moved in with this 18-year-old guy called Alberto.
How old were you?
I was 21. Yeah. But in Spain, family is so important. And so he was essentially doing uni for the first time, left his family, went to a completely different city. He's from Valencia, went to a completely different city and just didn't have his family anymore. So he kind of, in a way, I felt a bit like he latched onto me. and kind of had like, we spent so much time together. There'll be times where we'd have like a sleepover in the living room because he kind of needed to feel a bit closer to someone in that way. So I'd be sleeping on the sofa. He'd bring in his fucking mattress and sleep on the floor. And it kind of reminded me of that.
We didn't get quiet to that point.
No, but it
no, kind of, no, that's
it,
true.
It kind of reminded me of that because I was like, you're 17, you're moving out for the first time. You're in this new city. You do need a bit of like a presence there. And then we were sat at a cafe and you went up to a group of people that you were your age and you complimented someone to what someone was wearing. You came back, sat down with me, and you were like, oh, I reckon I'm gonna like ask them what they're up to and go and hang out with them. And I remember thinking like, go and do it, that'll be sick. And then you did it as they were walking off and you walked off with them and like turned back to me and waved at me. And I was like, oh, there he goes. And I remember that I think we still hung out after that, like every now and then. Yeah. But that was definitely the moment where I was like,
that's mad. It was as well.
Yeah. Cause I was like, that's great. Now he has that. I can go back to my room and make some music.
Oh, that's mad.
Sweet, man. That's really that sweet.
But I remember that. I remember which direction you walked off in. I remember that I had a bag. I think I went to Waterstones and I had a book from Waterstones. It's a very clear memory in my mind.
Wow.
It's weird that's because really I wish the conversation we had was over Discord. So it's like,
it was like over like Instagram DMs when I was still living in Manchester and COVID. Yeah. But it was still very, no. It means a lot to me because it is fully like one of the main, it was you and Schlatt had both sent me, Schlatt did it in his Schlatt way. I think his exact wording was, you're sat on a gold mine. I must admit, did encourage you. When Schlatt says you're sat on a gold mine, you do think about it.
I think Schlatt is very secretly a sentimental person.
He is, but he worded it in his way.
He'd never spoken to me about this before, but Schlatt and I have known each other for 7 years.
Which is a
weird thing. So in 2018, we were added to a group chat together and it was like seen as this like, upcoming next big YouTubers group chat. And to be fair, the amount of YouTubers that were in that group chat that are now full-time YouTubers is mental.
Oh, okay. Who was the guy called
The Right Opinion? He does video essay content. But he was in that. And I remember I went to New York and saw Schlatt, and I think that's the only time I've ever met him. And he brought it up and I was like, I knew that there was a part of him that knew that from back in the day.
When I did my A Tribute to Dream S&P video, I think Schlatt did like 7 passes on the script. Just with
really?
Notes. Like he's a sentimental guy.
He cares so much about that kind of content.
Yeah, he's
as well.
Great.
It was you and him that both gave me the advice. And that basically almost made my mind up. I remember saying it to my parents and then being like, yeah, maybe just stick it out for a bit longer. And then like a week later, them even changing their minds and being like, ah.
Nah, you've got to understand when you have like a real chance to do something like this.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't think it's, as much as that was like, not lightning in a bottle, but a great opportunity for both of you. It was like, you could keep doing stuff. And even if that one hadn't worked, 2 years down the line, something would have happened that would have worked. And I think that was in my mind, I was like, I don't feel bad giving that advice because I knew if not this, the next thing would happen.
I appreciate that. Again, I wouldn't be here now, so.
Oh.
Look at him.
It's your question.
Oh, is it my question? Sorry.
I
was waiting for you to move out
of way.
I was actually
you know when it's with you, we can do it. When it's like Dan and Phil, like,
how what that by the way mental you know
no, they were great
I grew
they were
up,
great what, but I didn't like grow up what did you
no
we
no,
didn't
no.
really have that same
oh,
like
wow.
everyone
I
that
really
I spoke
appreciated,
to has been
like I knew of their legacy and as I'd researched them for the episode I was like these
me too
guys
as
fucking
I researched them
inspiring
my
but,
sister showed me Dan's content when I was growing up and that was like one of my biggest inspirations behind
oh yeah your
YouTube
first
videos.
Ever video is actually really similar actually.
Absolutely.
Have you ever seen James's first ever videos? Oh, very Dan Phil-esque.
Yeah, it's very bad. All my old videos are terrible. But they're like very like, it was Dan and Phil and KSI. I was like somewhere that I loved the way that they made videos and they
really
edited.
Weird.
Yeah, but I was like, I was into everything. YouTube
the
was
way
great.
They went off is like really.
Yeah, but this is the thing. In like 2010 to like 2013, there weren't many YouTubers still.
So there weren't like these like sectors of it. It was
no.
YouTubers were YouTubers.
No, because you having 100K was like, yeah, it was like you and Will N.E. And
No, there was like, I remember hitting 1 million and that still being something which was like really,
really
difficult.
Unheard of. Yeah,
and like
yeah.
even now it's still very difficult, but you do get some creators that just like will make shorts and
yeah, it's easiest. I mean, it's the reason they made the play button smaller.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be funny, but like they literally were like, shit, we're sending out too many of these. We can't afford to send them at that size. Like, I mean, like they are going out more frequently.
Yeah.
It's just a fact.
But yeah, Dan and Fields. I remember I saw that episode happen and I just kind of like leant back in my chair and was like, that is so fucking cool.
I don't know about you, I got a lot of messages from like people.
I got a lot of people in person being like, what the fuck?
Well, yeah, I was one of them. Like, yeah. I came up to you, we bumped into each other somewhere. I can't remember where it was.
The gym, mate.
The gym, yeah. It was the gym.
The place to talk about Dan and Phil.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I fucking love Dan and Phil, mate. Ooh, I'm on that. He's not on fire. Yeah, amazing. Phil. Amazing Phil.
Fucking get in.
Look at us.
It's your go.
That was sick. Yeah, I'll read mine then. Oh, that was it. We were talking about ourselves, we're being self-indulgent. We wanted to know what were me and Tom's strengths. And if you were each of us, what would you do?
What would you look out for?
You
in
gave
work?
Us such good advice back in the day that we figured we'd want some.
No,
now.
But you also put as well, what would you look out for in work and in
no,
life?
You added that. You actually adulterated my question.
Yeah,
and added
no, but you have no, been, Jack's you've been integral.
It's Jack's turn.
Shut up, I'm talking. I'll ask James a question.
Oh, very good. Okay, so I'll take it in turns.
Oh, very good.
I think you need. Sorry, was that really sarcastic?
Very good.
It was great. You need to be more confident in the things that you like to make, because when you put out something that you've clearly enjoyed the process of making from start to finish, one, it always does well, which is like,
okay,
like the burger video.
Oh yeah,
did fantastically, but was also very you. And sure. Then you mentioned that you did, and I saw the supermarket video you did.
I enjoyed the supermarket
I think
video.
You need to lean into that kind of stuff and get a bit more wild with it, because I think your audience enjoy it and you clearly enjoy making it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, when your audience are vibing with whatever you make, as long as it is clear that you wanted to make it, you're in a fucking great position.
Mm-hmm. And Hang on, wait, I'm sitting up for my one.
I've said this to you.
Thank you. That's good advice.
I think your audience interaction is amazing. I've seen you perform now twice. I'm coming again on Thursday, I believe.
Yeah. I'm doing it tonight as well, my first crowd.
Oh, you're going to see
not,
me?
To not my own
wait,
audience.
Actually, this... It would have already happened by the time this goes out, so everyone will know the fact that I'm doing a little.
Are you actually?
He's not doing stand up, but he's doing like a.
It's kind of stand up. It's somewhere
it's
in the middle.
It's that joke where he asks people what their impressions are, and then
oh, remember
actually
you were in the video. Remember the weird impressions bit I did at the end of that?
Yes,
I'm doing that again.
That's good.
Hello.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
And I would say I saw a clip of your crowd work with that guy that says he owns a record label in Brighton, and I remember showing that to my friends because I was like, okay, hold on. I've seen you perform and I've seen you write jokes and I see you kind of like getting it together and gathering the pieces. But then I almost saw with the crowd work, I watched it and I forgot it was you. And I like that was the thing which people have said before to me, where I've had old friends come to shows and go like...
I forget it's you when you're on stage. Yeah. But like we're mates.
In a weird way, the more you can kind of leave the self and become a bit of like a myth of yourself, where to the point where people will watch it and just go, that's hilarious. Oh wait, it's also Tom. I think that you need to lean into anything which makes people feel that way, and I won't be alone in feeling that crowd work was something which
very right. I really did. I thought that your crowd work at the start of the thing was very, very good,
and I think you should lean into that. That's what I'd say.
I think it was probably your best bit, but maybe also that bit where you played Bruce Springsteen for 8 minutes could also be up there.
They're
interchangeably great. You know,
that was great. And it'll never happen again.
But you come from such a unique perspective with stand-up, because you have...
Do you think I'm doing the right thing doing stand-up and being off YouTube?
Yes. But which do you enjoy the most?
Stand-up.
Then yes.
Thanks, James.
That's the...
I like how simple you see it.
No, you're really just cool, like affirming us, man. This is nice.
Yeah, no, this is the alphabet. Maybe I'm the couple's therapist.
Maybe.
This is certainly helping.
I like how simple that was. Just like, do you enjoy it more? Yes, good.
Yeah, but strip it down to its simplest qualities. What I love to do is sit down and write music and play that music live. Therefore, my life should be mainly that. And if I can turn that into something which affords me the ability to do it more, then 100% every single day of the week. But yeah, I would say I think... That was the first real time that I saw it and was like, I would struggle to put you, you know, like it kind of felt like I was just watching a comedian I would watch. You know what I mean? And that was like a really cool thing to see, which shows that with time as well, you're just going to get better and better at that. But you have the years of experience of Twitch chat. And I think that is probably why.
That's what we've been saying.
You can do the crowd work better.
And then the podcast as well gives me a sharp.
No, but crowd work is like, you're given with Jack, you kind of know what the stimuli will be. If he has a story, you still
predictable.
You still know where he's
than well, you'd imagine.
As a friend, you know the way he's gonna say something.
Yeah. But like he's like I've done Twitch streaming. I've done that for 8 years. I did Twitch streaming for 7 years. I started in 2017 Twitch streaming.
And that's just crowd interaction. Really?
Yeah, it really is.
Plus Minecraft.
Yeah, it was weird when I did the crowd interaction, and like, because I'd never done it, and then I just did it, and then everyone was like, "Oh, you can!" I was like, oh, "I can do that," and I was like,
"Yeah, it was very natural." It was the most natural.
Slap would say, "Is that a gold mine, kid?
Is that a gold mine, kid?
Is that a gold mine?" You're gonna have a clip that goes viral in like the next year where you get heckled and you have a really good retort. I just know it. I watched that clip and I was like, he's gonna get heckled and he's gonna own the heckler and he's gonna have a Tommy and it owns the heckler retort video.
Thanks, James.
Tommy so, owns heckler.
And now people are gonna clip this podcast and then attach it on the end
thank
of it.
You. Yeah, I'd like I'm doing it tonight for the first time to not my audience.
We're not faking any more clips, by the way. I don't know if you saw last week where we faked a clip, but we've cut that. All our clips now are authentic
all
like that
real,
one.
What clip was faked?
We did a clip where Tom pretended he had more money than he does.
But you know, because it was that clip of me talking about, no, don't do that face. It was a cool idea and it was my idea.
So oh, is this on the Logan Paul podcast? Where...
Yeah, and it went, but we were like, let's do like a sequel to that clip and see if it gets to all that audience. But what we said to our audience was no matter what, reply saying, OMG, that's mad. And like, and anyone that goes, this is fake, reply no, lol.
So how much did you say you had?
I don't know, like, no, it was just a joke. It was just a joke.
I said 25 to 30 mil.
Quite a lot more.
He doesn't even know.
Hasn't looked.
He hasn't even looked.
How much is a pint of milk?
Huh?
How much is a pint of milk?
No, don't even go there, man. I'm not even allowed milk.
Oh, yeah. No, he's recently found out his lactose intolerant.
Finally, I've been trying to get you on oat milk for fucking
and all
years.
It took was me shitting myself for 7 months.
Apparently he's been sat on the podcast in shitty pants because he keeps shitting himself.
You know the worst one was, James? You're like this because you go to the same gym as me. When I knew I had to make a change was when I'd stand up after being on the gym equipment.
Oh, no.
I'd be like,
and there
be
was
like,
shit on the gym.
I'd be like, that can't just be sweat.
I was on the crunch machine the other day. Well, it's not a machine. It's like...
Tell the story about the guy with the money.
I will, yeah. Okay. I'll do that after. I'm worried about how far that's going to get. But it's so I was on a crunch machine, but it's like a bench that kind of angles off, so your head's like here.
Oh,
and I was
sure.
holding a weight, and I was crunching up, and I did 12, and I was like, not feeling great today. Feeling like just a bit kind of bloated, not at my best. I did the second round, got to 11, was like, okay, this is definitely not my day. And then on the third set, I got to 8 and just farted. And it was a really full gym. And it was like, I didn't have my headphones on. And like, I could look around and there were plenty of people that did not have headphones on because the music in the gym is pretty good. And the fart I let out wasn't like a heavy one, but it was very high pitched to the point where it was just like, you just see this, like I'm 6'3" with a weight doing crunches and you just hear like a... Like, that's what was going up, but like an annoyingly loud.
I did one on you know, the leg curl that's in the very corner. I did a really stinky one. I went, oh, that's really bad. And then like three people came to those lockers and I watched them all go, oh, then look at me and go, it must have been him. And I was just sat there like,
yeah. You know what I do? If I do one that really smells and I know people are going to have that reaction, I do it first. Like, make it look like it was someone else. Oh. I go, oh, fucking hell, who's done that? And it's me.
My favourite thing I used to do in school is when we leave the school corridor, there was this really tight corridor that all the students would get into, and I'd always try and fart. And then I hear like 10 people go, and I'd also join in, but I'd know it was me.
You guys are you're hitting me with who smelt it, dealt it in 2025. That's crazy.
No, this is the funny. So I was leaving the gym. And I saw James talking to someone. I was like, oh, he's got gym buddies, does he? So I'm leaving.
Yeah, I can't have friends.
But then you
I
were like,
no, friends.
But you were like, I don't have a gym buddy.
Right. Yeah. So I was.
This is crazy.
I was in the gym and I was on the. So there's only one of these machines at the gym, and it's a pec fly machine. So it's the one where you do.
Oh,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes they have multiple. You can actually do it with cables, which I'm now starting to do because of how awkward moments like this are. So I'm sat at this machine. I've done my first set. I've got two more sets to go. And a man who I'd say is like maybe 30 years old, bit of a geezer. He's shaped like a burrito. Like he's got like massive shoulders, massive arms. His chest is massive, and he just looks like an absolute monster. And and he comes up to me and he's like, mate, how many sets you got left? And I was like, oh, sorry, friend. Yeah, I have two sets left, but we can take it in turns. He's like, oh yeah, class. And then I'm like, okay, I'll go to do my second set. Oh no, I get off the set and he does his. And as he's sitting down, he's like, right, you got to make sure when you come to the gym, you got to have like 4 liters of water before you come here, right? Because your pump will be massive. And I'm natural as well. He might be natural. he was massive. And he goes like, he sits down and clearly he's seen my form and taken issue with it. Right. Because he sits down, he goes, chest out, chin up, money, money, money. And says money with every single repetition. And I'm just kind of like, I'm not on my phone.
That's real.
My phone's on the floor. So like, I have no distraction here, but to watch his set, he's not looking at me. He's like dead forward. I'm like stood here, like just out, like I'm in his peripheral vision, dead saying money, like straight forwards for the 12 sets. And I was like, okay, well, what's happened here clearly is that he's calling his form money. Like that's on the money, the form. Yeah. And he's done that once and he's done it twice and he's gone, okay, well, if I've said it twice, I can't stop saying it. So I'm going to say it 12 times. And I was like, okay, cool. Whatever. I sit down. He comes off the machine. He goes over to the water. He's like, oh. So he goes over to the water to grab some more water.
Some more water, yeah.
To add on to the 4 liters. And I sit down and I start doing my set. And I'm like, okay, he didn't actually change the weight. And that was a pretty high weight. And I go to do my set and I get to like repetition number 8. I'm fumbling like this. My form is wavy as hell. And I go, and I get to 8. I'm like, God, I get up going like, sorry, mate. Today's just not my day. You know, it's slightly embarrassing. He sits back down, doesn't say it this time. So he comes around, he sits on the seat, you know, legs like this. Just this thing. Cause it, like, apparently it was off. It wasn't really. I think he just wanted to kind of like play around. So he does the chest out, but he doesn't say it. Does the chin up, doesn't say it. Grabs the fucking things. Money. Money. And again, for the next 12 repetitions, he says it. I'm just like, stood there, absolutely bemused by this man. Like, what is he? And I go like, he finishes the 12 and he's made me look fucking tiny because he's done the 12 like it's absolutely nothing.
Because you ask him, don't you?
Huh?
You ask him.
Well, no, at the end of it, I go, nice one, mate, and go to give him a fist bump. And he goes, yeah, that's money. And just walked off. So, yeah.
Didn't he say, like, you've always got to have money on the mind? Didn't he say?
No, no, no.
Oh, okay.
No, he just went, yeah, that's money.
And then I walked past.
Yeah, you walked past in the middle of that story. And you looked at me like, you got a mate? And I was like, oh, my God, I cannot wait to tell him what's happened. But yeah, so that's... Money. I went home and wrote a song about
money.
Him because I was like...
Money.
No one has ever said, yeah, that's money to me.
That's like, so and sick. Then, like, within, what a phrase. Just, that's actually gas. Yeah. Money. That's money.
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 So now, like, in my friendship group now, whenever one of us does a thing that we're, like, happy with, like, we'll do a pub quiz every now and then. If someone gets one right, they'll turn to the group and go, money.
That's good.
I love how it's kind of becoming a thing.
Yeah, that's
and now
money.
He's just a character at the gym. Like you've
got to point him out.
Mate, you'll
the
know.
Only other
the
guy,
thing is, you'll know it's him. I won't even need to be there. You'll see him and you'll go, that's money, man.
The only guy I know at the gym is the guy I had a long chat about Bruce with.
Yeah.
Oh, you've told me.
But I can't quite remember if it was him or not. And so we keep looking at each other and going, but I'm like, I think it was him.
It's definitely him.
I'm going to bring up Bruce next time. So.
Oh my God. The thing is, you'll go to the gym and you'll just
see characters every time.
You'll see a guy. And he'll just be like a bit, like he'll have an aura to him. He has the money aura.
I used to go to a different gym with Freddie and we had a list of all the characters and we had points for how rare they won. The rarest one.
You gave them rarity.
No, because we'd always score the gym in points. Because we'd also go in the sauna and in the sauna you'd have long chats with people. The worst one, I'm not sure.
Why was he having steamy chats with people at the gym?
No, because whenever you're in the sauna, like there's like loads of people in the sauna. And the highest point one who was awful was racist sauna man.
Oh, that's rough.
Because every time, no matter the people in the sauna, no matter the vibe, he'd come in and he would like twist the word. We'd be like talking about nature and he'd be like, yeah, nature's crazy, isn't it? I swear down, Labour's making this nature worse, man. And we had been in the sauna with him like 8-9 times. And there was one time when there was an American woman who like had enough. He was like, I don't want to talk about this. And no matter what, he would talk about. And he did this. And I went to this gym for about a year and a half. And I'd see him 2-3 times a month. And every time, God, it must have been more. Every time he'd come in the gym, and no matter what. And we try changing the subject. And you change it for a minute, and then he'd bring it back. No matter what, he'd always talk about.
Hotspot for this type of stuff. I had someone who came up to me, like, beautiful man, long hair, curls. And he came up to me and he was like, oh, I've seen your videos on YouTube. And I was like, oh, well, that's great. And he's like, you can't get away with saying a lot of that stuff, though, can you? And I was like, wait, sorry. Who do you think I am?
Woke has
like,
ruined us.
No, I was like, oh, God, what is it? What is he? Who does he think I am? Or what does he think I've said? And so then I like went about the gym. I just didn't really respond. I was like, ha-ha, yeah. Walked away. Next day, I come into the gym, or like a week later or so, I walk past him. I'm like, it would be rude of me to just ignore this man. So I was like, I went past him. I was like, oh, hey, mate, how's it going? Aired me. So clearly he went home and looked up whoever he thought I was and noticed it wasn't me.
Oh, man.
Damn.
And now he's always there and we just don't really talk about it.
You've got to point them out to me because we go like nearly the same time.
Yeah, I don't really go. I just box.
You could go to our gym.
Yeah, there's a boxing bit in our gym.
Maybe then.
It would be awesome.
I don't have any characters, I'll be honest.
Our gym's great.
I don't have any characters.
There are so many characters. And they're just like all... But then like it's really sweet because...
Harry goes to this gym as well. And Zoe. This is like the Brighton YouTuber's gym.
Wow, well now I'm getting a bit pissed off.
And there's some sweet people that go there. Like there's some older people that go there and like strike up conversations with other older people at the gym. Like it's a really nice...
Yeah, there are... Yeah, it's really, great.
There's weird characters. Well, not weird characters. There's eclectic characters. And then there's like just like a good community of people as well.
All right, well...
And the fucking people who run it, sometimes if your form is shit, they will come up to you and help you out, which is
really
nice.
That is nice.
I'll get us back on topic, shall I?
Yeah, sorry.
Let's talk about the gym for fucking ages.
People are going to love that.
Well, no, I actually wanted to know from you, you've been on the internet a fucking long time.
Yeah.
Right?
And back to the internet.
Yeah.
Back to the internet.
Sorry, Jack, that was undermining.
All right. Anyway, back to the internet, though.
Back to the internet.
I want to know what, like, you've been on YouTube specifically for quite a long time.
Yeah.
What's your favorite era of it, would you say, that you were involved in?
Ooh.
Or maybe to watch? Or maybe you answer both.
Oh, wow. I'd say to watch, I loved, like, the PewDiePie era of, like, the old, like, Happy Wheels.
Which era of PewDiePie was around for a while?
The Happy Wheels-y kind of, like, horror.
Oh, like 2013.
When gaming YouTube first, like, popped off, I thought that was...
Sure, okay.
That was fantastic. And, like, that was an era of YouTube where, like, YouTubers would play a game and then you'd go and buy the game. And, like, that was great. Mm.
It was a very symbiotic sort of relationship.
In terms of making content, just the amount of people that were indoors during COVID, like, it kind of meant that you could go on and play Among Us with friends and just make a video out of that and people would watch it. And, what? Like, I remember thinking that was great. Like, that was, like, the time where, it felt the most communal.
I definitely felt that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. COVID definitely. I feel like I make so much content by myself now compared to COVID where I felt like everything was with
someone. Everyone was just on.
Everyone was just around. You just messaged, be like, I want to do this tonight. Who's around? You could find 10 fucking creators.
Everyone's Google calendar was just like sad and just like empty.
Yeah. It was sort of just filled with like be miserable for a bit. And if anyone came in with a task, you'd be like, great. A little bit time away from being miserable.
I was indoors so much. Like I didn't even really go on any of those walks that we were allowed to do. There was a point in time where I'm pretty sure I didn't leave the house for a month. Like I was like literally just...
I go like 4 days and then do a 7-minute walk. And then do 4 days.
Well, I lived in East London. So it was like, wherever I would be walking would just be buildings anyway.
Yeah,
like,
there weren't really parks. That must have been a tough...
That area of London that you lived in is particularly...
Was it tough?
Around.
Yeah, I mean, there was like... There's like, even I think on the podcast that we've done before, that my skin was just in an awful state.
Oh, literally, like, as we were filming it, I thought that.
That's mental!
Actually terrible.
No, I was like 16.
Yeah, no, but my skin was in a horrible state. And I thought I had like really bad like skin issues. And then I kind of moved to Brighton and was walking
just
outside.
Just went outside, didn't it?
And it was like the sun just went like, finally. But yeah, it's weird. I think YouTube in its current state is actually fine. Like I know people like to kind of talk about YouTube as this kind of like now it's very corporate and stuff, but I actually think you can kind of get away with a lot more. Like I'm making content now that I would have watched like 10 years ago where I'm just trying different foods and people watch it.
No, it's pretty well rounded. There's a lot of options these days in a way that there actually hasn't been for a while. I think like there's sort of a lot of healthy sort of ecospheres littered around the place, which
because
is cool.
They give you better options to push your videos now, like the kind of like multiple thumbnails thing.
True, very true.
It's a lot easier to know how to push a video on YouTube.
That's a very good point.
And it feels like it's its own climate compared to like TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. Like YouTube still feels like you can be a creator that doesn't really have a presence on any of the other platforms, but make YouTube videos and they will perform well.
You can, yeah.
So I think YouTube in its current state I actually really like, but I don't know if that's weirdly controversial now.
It's a hot take for us.
It's a hot No, well, I see what James, I like the elements he's talking about, but I think the bigger elements, you know,
it's hot take for me.
The creators you look at on YouTube that are like the very, very biggest, I think this is the worst era of that.
Yeah.
You know, like whenever you, over the years, when you picked out who was at the top.
No, yeah.
There's no lawful good at the top.
Yeah, but it is just sort of corporatism at the top, and that's a bit.
I was never in any group, I was never the biggest. And like, I think that's like one of the sobering things about YouTube for me now is I can kind of do it on my own, and I don't feel like I need to be getting like millions upon millions of views.
Yeah, I've really settled into that feeling of like, I actually have no urge to be any bigger than I am. I just enjoy my little pocket.
Yeah.
And that's like the first time I feel like YouTube, for the longest time, felt like about growing all the time. And yeah. this is the first time where the only thing I actually feel very desperate to grow is this podcast, because I enjoy it a lot. And I just
but
want
it
more
is
people
growing.
To see it.
And I think that's
and
great.
Patreon.
$7.
$7. But we actually, like, there's a bonus episode every week. And now there's the Jacktivities there new. Little vlogs.
Jacktivities, it does just sound like a lonely Wednesday evening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, to be fair. Maybe yeah. We'll do one then.
Yeah,
no,
a bit of a low
Patreon,
time.
You're allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, really? You can do whatever you want on Patreon. You can do nude stuff.
That's not.
No, I'm not saying we should.
But maybe when we hit like 20,000.
Patreon.
Solicit it. Yeah.
That would be.
Solicit it. Pardon?
It would solicit that.
Is that correct? Is that the correct use of language?
Let's not get hung up on the grammar.
All right. Well, fine. I'll get on to my next question. I was really into your side of YouTube in sort of like 2016.
Yeah, we've spoken about this. Like commentary.
Yeah, I was really, that was like, I feel like that was the most into YouTube I ever felt. It felt like, because I obviously it was like sort of the next wave that I sort of hopped in on. I started streaming around 2019. And like, it felt like it was the first time that the back end of YouTube was actually, it felt like everything was public all the time. I felt like I knew so much.
Yeah.
It felt like when I got into YouTube, I had so much prior context, which was quite useful. But like, it also looked like a fucking hellscape to be a part. I'm just so curious about that time and how it was to be part of it. Because I feel like I know it, but I probably don't.
Promotion on YouTube was very different then. Like, it was like, now you can kind of get momentum on like a tweet. And then if you post a video about that thing, it will do well. Like, it's like a weird, like, kind of, there's almost like a hive mind between all of the social medias that kind of like pushes content to do well on individual platforms. Back then, it was a lot more kind of regimented and rigid in a way that it's quite hard to explain, but the
it
way
like
that
peak clickbait as well, like,
yes,
peak
so
crazy
you had
title.
To be clickbaiting. I remember there was like a point in time where there's a guy called Elvis the Alien who recently reached out to me, being like,
I used to watch Elvis.
Yeah, this is the thing. So he reached out to me and was like, he complimented me on music and stuff, and I was like, this is a really weird one, because without him I wouldn't have been like, I wouldn't have had a certain push at a certain time, because I was in group chats where you'd analyze and you'd work out what creators were about to post a video and on what they would post. Because if you posted a video within an hour of their one on the same topic, you would be the up next.
Oh.
And literally, like, they would post their video and your video would be the up next, and you'd get like 5,000 to 10,000 views. And if you're making a similar type of content, people would just subscribe back then. It was really like,
was it
really intense?
'Cause for me, it feels like people cared a lot less about analytics back then, before all the YouTube
does. 2016, it does not seem it at all.
Commentary was very much like,
so numeric.
I was, the way I got my first 1,000 subscribers was by commenting on Jacob Sartorius music videos saying, this song is so bad, watch my video on it.
Oh, wow. I remember that.
And then I'd go through on multiple accounts and I'd like my comment. Comment on it on
it's
something
very
else.
Like just consistently been a very like shameless
commentary
that hasn't changed. It's gotten better, but not much.
But commentary, and then I had a collaboration with someone. I had 4,000 subscribers. I had a collaboration, and something you could do on YouTube back then was like, they would do the first half of the video, then they'd just invite someone else to come and do the second half.
Yeah, I remember that.
So I was just the second half of someone else's video on Lil Tay, I think, and in that video I went overnight from 4,000 to 20,000 subscribers. Because if you were a creator back then and you went subscribe to them, people would just do it.
Yeah. It was
they
like mindless.
Just, like, it was just like, okay, boom. Jesus, and then from then it was just like rinse and repeat, commentary.
Yeah. How was it like community-wise though? I think that's what I'm more...
That came with time. Like, it's so hard to build community if you're just on your own. Like, as a creator, if you need to like at least have a partner, or like someone you make videos with, like you have the podcast hosts, right? Like, people are far more likely to
fucking
Mate, that was a punch.
It's passion, man. We're communal, mate.
We're fucking
communal.
All the talks on Creator Clash getting you interested.
I'd rather kill myself. Sorry, I was hoping something different would come. But no, I'd hate to do that.
But I ultimately think...
But I felt like such a... Because Shelby messaged me like, would you be interested in doing it? And I was like, I'm not the fighting type. But I sent it first thing in the morning, and then I was like, oh, I hate how that takes.
But you're going to the gym now. You're going to be wham.
I remember my dad, when he found out about all the fights, said in my dad's voice, he said, Tom, promise me you'll never do anything as stupid as that. I said, of course, Dad. He went, thank you.
I did it.
I know.
I can't believe he would say that.
But yeah, I think then it was a matter of like, over time, you build community. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, sorry, look, Jack. We're all here for you, Jack.
Yeah.
And I think that's
I thought it was cool, you know, watching you fight.
I thought
it's
it
changed
was cool
your nose,
doing
though,
it.
Hasn't it? Forever.
Yeah, my nose has changed forever, but it's also changed me forever.
Is it deviated?
It deviated it slightly, yeah.
Oh, man. I did rugby as a kid, and now my nose is like proper, like in the middle. It's just like a big old bump.
Mm. I already had a big old bump, thank fuck. So it just made it a bit worse.
Me last night.
Of the gear.
I think what we might do is...
He got off the drink and onto the gear.
Like what they used to do in YouTube, I think we might just let you host the Patreon. You just rattle off singers.
We'll just leave and you can just rattle them off for 45
minutes, yes.
Right, well, look, we've came to the end of our first half. However, it is only a half. It's at the end because we're about to move to the Patreon.
However, we have a closing segment.
Oh, you're right.
How could you forget? Everybody, how is the worm doing? James, if you would like to inspect the worm.
Now, the worm is very excited by Dan and Phil.
If I drop him...
That's bad. That's very bad. The worm's doing bad.
Bro.
You got to find him first.
Are you fucking with me? There's no worm in here.
He might not be excited to see. He was very excited.
He might be hiding. He was very excited about Dan and Phil.
Like, really. Like, we've never seen him. Or her, or them.
Yeah, we're not sure, actually.
Not sure.
But always
guys, I can't lie. I think this worm might be fucking dead.
Actually, no. Are all worms them? Because they don't have... They're not boys or girls, are they?
Is that true?
Guys, there is no worm.
Let me have a look. Let me have a quick
inspection. Hold on. I'm having a gander, but...
Oh, okay. Well, they don't be so conclusive early then.
Sorry. Guys, I think this worm might be fucking dead. I can't...
It's not dead. It'll just be in the garbage at the
top. Well, how'd you get him out?
We don't get him out.
We don't get him out. He stays in there.
He stays in there.
It's a house, mate.
Well, no, but how do you get him to come to the sides?
We don't. He just usually does. He's a worm. He's got his own fucking shit.
He's got free will and stuff.
Besides the small box he's in forever.
Yeah, he's got free will to move around the box.
Do you
reckon
you'll upgrade his box if you get to a certain amount of patrons?
No.
Nah.
No, that's a very generous box for a worm. Could be a cut. Yeah.
Could be just living in here.
Would you have had me on the podcast if I was a worm?
Probably not, no, due to your lack of questions. That you'd be able to answer.
Lack of answers.
It's not very nice.
Oh, sorry. Yes, you went on to say answers. Sorry.
Hey, it's all right. It was a little undermining, but it's okay. I undermined you earlier, so we get one undermined.
Guys, there's
one
no worm in here. Are you messing with me?
No, there should be. Let me have a look. There should be. We've never messed with any of our guests ever.
I don't want to...
Except Jack Septicai. He was awful.
Why do you keep doing this bit? He's lovely. I had a lovely
chat with him. Do you know Hazar, the cameraman?
Yeah.
He hit him.
He really?
He socked him in the head. Just socked him in the face for no reason. He just said, come here, come here, come here, come here.
Bam.
And then he said, all right, I'm ready to film. Jesus.
Worm, at the top. He's out.
Let's see, he's coming out.
He's at the top, James. You see this?
Congratulations, Mr.
Wait,
Worm.
This is a James. James, you get to hold the wiggling worm. Show the audience.
Oh my God, he's coming out of the top. That's mental. Does he ever do this?
He did for Dan and Phil.
First time for Dan and Phil, and then he's just been on it ever since.
Oh, maybe it's like a thing that he does for his favourite guests.
Maybe. Well, you're the second guest.
Oh, wow, Mr. What's his name?
Microphone. You call him Microphone.
Oh, that's a horrid name. Mm. That was when I didn't care about the worm. Now he's fucking... Now we should call him
Reginald.
Mike.
Give him a better name now. He's a cool...
Reginald.
Reginald Sparkfinger.
Reginald Sparkfinger it is.
Reginald Sparkfinger. What?
Reginald Sparkfinger.
But he doesn't have fingers.
He's like one long finger.
Yeah, he's like one big articulating finger.
But he's got that spark.
He has got the spark.
Well, that's cool. Nice worm.
Thank you very much.
We're going to move.
He's doing well. He's wiggling around.
Nice worm.
As we'd expect.
Heard. Oh. Right, we're going to move over to our...
About my penis. Right, guys.
Thank you for completing it.
Let's move over to the Patreon where James has plenty more to say. Perhaps he has secrets to tell us. We like to say that.
What the fuck is that?
Chad, do some more marketing. Do some more hooks.
Like, I'm just saying, maybe...
Perhaps he has some secrets to tell us.
Maybe
James has some opinions on some hot topics.
And maybe some zingers along the way.
James is maybe going to elaborate on things that you wouldn't expect him to, and you have to pay for it. So $7 is what it is to jump over there. And there's an extra episode
every
week.
And if you want, by the way, you can not pay for $7 and just enjoy your next 45 minutes being shit.
Yeah, exactly. You're probably what going
to do. And if you want to watch Jack straight up be jacking it,
no, I have jacktivities. I don't jack off.
No, but you're
I did flowering.
He's jacking it. You know that.
I've not done any jacking off in the jacktivities yet.
He's jacking it on Patreon. You know,
James, stop that.
Let's make the sound, guys. James, join us. You're a singer.
That's a really good end to the first.
Are we going to move over to the Patreon?
Patreon.